All right. Now we can get to the word. All the fun stuff. I'm sore. I was out late last night dancing. It was awesome. We were celebrating a wedding of a young couple from the church, and it was an amazing celebration, lots of fun. And my youngest daughter really likes to dance. Of course, she didn't have to twist my arm very hard. If I hear music, I start moving. So please put your phones on airplane mode, silent mode, or the sermon will get very exciting. I want to talk today about living water. Aren't you thankful we have beautiful, wonderful water? Like, we live along the Clearwater River. If you travel around to other places in the country or the world, you can often not see your hand about 6 inches below the surface. And if you were in the river a week or so ago when we had the big mudslide, it was that way. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to get in here. Like, I'm used to seeing the bottom, and I was afraid. It was swimming at a hole that we swim often, and I was afraid to dive in because I couldn't see. I'd been there since I was a child swimming, and I'm like, I know there's a big rock there. I know there's a big rock there and a big rock right here, which I'm going to jump off of. But it was like, it's like, I can't do it. Like, I cannot see what I'm going to crash into, maybe, even though I know nothing's there because I've been there 1,000 times. But the living water that God offers us is His Holy Spirit. And it's not hidden, it's not obscured. It shouldn't be scary. It's definitely a little different because it's supernatural. And it's beyond our normal on this earth thinking and understanding and abilities. But God offers us this living water. And often we lay down His living water for a counterfeit. We say, oh, well, this looks better. And it starts way back in the Garden of Eden. God placed the man and the woman in the garden, said, take care of it. Eat anything you want except for that tree. They had the living water. They had no sorrow, no pain, no hardships. I can't imagine. I mean, we're going to one day when we get to heaven know what they experienced in the Garden of Eden. But on this life, I can't think about that. I think I have sunburned arms right now that hurt. I'm hurting from dancing and stacking rock all day yesterday. And in heaven, it is no more. There will be joy and celebration, no more sorrow, no more pain. Adam and Eve are living in this moment that we have to look forward to. The living water is flowing through the garden, through them. They walk with the Lord daily through the garden. They're experiencing the living water. But the serpent, Satan, comes in. He says, oh, but have you thought about this tree? It's so much better. And I would like to say we all learned from that story and we never did it again. But we didn't. We continually fall prey to the deception of the enemy of our soul. Because he tempts us and says, oh, well, this is better. This will get you there quicker. There's something better and available. All you have to do is... Anybody else? Am I the only one? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can. The devil is very good at distracting us, giving us a false representation, giving us the puppet, giving us the decoy, and we fall for it over and over and over. So how do we overcome that? Part of the problem is we drink just enough of the living water, the Spirit of God, to survive. And we don't drink enough to thrive. We come to church on Sunday morning. We sing the songs. We worship God together. We hear the message. That was wonderful. I got a drink. And then we go live our lives however we want the rest of the week. We forget to read our word and engage with the living water through His scriptures, His truth. And we forget to sit and meditate and be still and silent before the Lord and say, God, what are you speaking to me? God, what do you have for me today? God, who or what would you have me pray for? And we forget to take those daily moments of meditation and prayer, interaction and conversation with our Lord and Savior. And we isolate ourselves from our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, another source of living water, where we sharpen one another's perceptions, our thinking, our attitudes, our actions. We're supposed to engage with the body of Christ, with brothers and sisters, not just on Sunday, hi, good to see you guys, have a good week. But we should have other relationships that we're engaging in weekly, continuing to drink from the fountain. And it's not my brother in Christ, but the Spirit living in him that pours onto me. So we continue to drink from this fountain of living water. And it's not the fountain of youth, as you can tell. I did not highlight my beard. My children did that for me. Thank you, Selway. So beware of the distractions. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It sums it up here pretty well. The whole title of this chapter is Israel Forsakes God. So Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So the first one, we've forsaken God, we've abandoned, we've left, we've went away. How often have we done that? A lot of times. Read the scriptures. They did it again and again. We're reading through the Bible chronologically this year, and of course it clumps all those stories together. And like some mornings, it's depressing. It's like, and again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and again, they turned to their own ways. Again, they put water in cisterns that would not hold the water. And I'm thinking, man, these are the people that watched the 10 plagues, the miracles of God happen. These are the people that watched the Red Sea open up and walk through on dry land, not just 8 or 10, but a couple of million. Like this wasn't a thing that just happened. It took hours and hours, and they watched the water be held up. I'm thinking, man, if they could go through all those miracles and still do evil in the eyes of the Lord, what are we missing? Maybe it's not miracles, signs, and wonders. Maybe it's my daily engagement with the living water of God, His Holy Spirit. And it's pretty cool. I've seen some pretty cool miracles in my day, seen some pretty cool signs and wonders, heard some pretty good words of prophecy. And those are like shots in the arm, but they're not what carries me day to day. Drinking daily from the living water of the Holy Spirit, that's what will sustain you and carry you and propel you and get you through those hard moments. The second part of that, they have dug their own cisterns. How many times have we turned to our own ways? Well, God, I know what your word says, but you know, I'm kind of believing in this new Jesus, and I've just got a different way of thinking about that. So like, I like all of your word, at least 85.5% of it. But the other, you know, 14 and a half, I'm like, eh, that's Arby's version of the Bible, right? We hear this theology often in churches. It's commonplace in the world in the Big C church. But either God is 100% right or he's 100% wrong. I'm all in or all out. I believe he's 100% right. So I don't get to pick and choose my own cistern. But I get to put my water into the Word of God and filter it through His truth. And then I get to live according to what He said, not according to what Arby feels or believes, but according to the truth of His Word, the living water, the Word of God. Filter your life through His Word. What does it say? How does it tell us to believe? Don't believe half-truths. I'm always amazed at believers that have been in the church for decades, and they'll spit something out. Well, it says in the Word, I'm like, no, that's not in the Bible. That's a quote of man, said as though it's from the Bible. Does anybody have any of those they want to share? That's a can of worms. God's Word is true. If you don't know, go look it up. Is it in here, Lord? Sometimes I tell people, well, this is what the Word says, and they go, it doesn't say that. I go, oh, yeah, it does. Here it is. It's not RB 316. It's Jesus, Word of God 316, or whatever verse it is. It's like, yeah, the Word really says that. It says if you want to walk in the blessing and the favor of the Lord, you will obey His teachings, His Word, His commands for our lives. We do a lot of counseling, and people are often like, we don't know what's going on, and all this, you know, evil's against us. It's like, yeah, it is, because you're not walking according to the Word of God. And until you align yourself with His righteousness, you're going to be walking outside of His blessing and favor. And His principles are still true. You can still apply His principles, and you can still get good fruit from that, but you can't get great fruit from that. Because you have to walk in the fullness of His Word according to His righteousness and not my own. So don't forsake God. Don't go your own way. Don't build your own cistern, because it will leak, it will become faulty, and it will get you kicked out of the Garden of Eden. The plans, the promises that God has in store for you. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 33. I wrote something down wrong. What did I do? Oh, 44, verse 3. There's only one 3 there. Okay. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. What does God promise to do with His living water? Pour it out upon not just me, but if I will walk righteously and faithfully before God, He's going to pour it out on my offspring, on my descendants, generational. Of course, in this passage, He's talking to Israel, but we are generations behind Israel. We are part of that generational flow of God's living water being poured down upon us, because those who have went before us, that walked righteously before God, continue allowing the living water to flow to the generations beyond you. God's promises are true, and they are generational. Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Again, generational blessing and God's promises, and also God's invite. He invites us to come and receive this living water. It's not a wait for the invitation to show up in the mail. He's already extended the invitation. We have to come and receive. Say, God, I want more of you. Don't spend your life making money on food that is not bread and labor that does not satisfy. Spend your life pursuing the living water that God has to offer you, and He will sustain you. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39. Jesus speaking here. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So who did Jesus extend the invitation to? All. All who are thirsty. Not just a few, not just one nation, not just one people group, but all who are thirsty, come and receive. I love that when Jesus left, he didn't leave us empty-handed. He said, "I must go so the Spirit may come, so the Counselor, the Advocate may come, the living water of his Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." How do we get this living water? Repent and be baptized. Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. There's a recipe to receive living water. Repent, be baptized, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 4, 13 and 14, eternal life. Jesus speaking again. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This living water is eternal life. It's not just for this earth, but it's for the afterlife and eternity. Thank you, Jesus, that we have living water. Are you drinking from it? Are you drinking that living water that Jesus offers to us? We went camping last week. We got home, went and looked at the garden. It had been 95 or 100 degrees, kind of like it feels in here right now. Let me see. Anybody else hot? You're about to be blessed in the name of Jesus and the HVAC company. It reset to 78, and that is way too hot. Where was that? Oh, yeah, we returned from camping. Go out and look at the garden. And a few of our plants are at death's doorstep. Like they're close to... like they might not make it. And they had got to the point that they were dropping their fruit off. The vegetables were falling off the vine because they were in survival mode. And they were trying to we have to save the vine. The leaves are like this and the fruit's laying on the ground and it's turning yellow. It needs some living water. Some of us operate our lives this way. And we begin to mature and grow and develop in who Christ has called us to be. And we start producing fruit. And we get excited about it. And in our excitement of what we're doing and producing, we forget to continue drinking in the living water. And we get busy doing ministry. And we forget that this guy is the first place we need to do ministry with the living water to make sure he's a full vessel being poured out of, not an empty vessel trying to get a drop out of. So we really heavily dosed the plants with water. We loaded them up. Lots of water. I went back out the next morning. Of course, the fruit's gone. It's laying on the ground. But the plant has revived. The leaves are popped back up, and they look good, and the vines look sharp and green again. It's wonderful. And then we watered, and then it was 100 degrees. I went back out the third morning, and the leaves are all wilted again, and he's sick. Of course, he didn't have any fruit to drop this time. But he doesn't look healthy at all. He's like, it was our cucumber plant mostly, and he was like, ugh, I'm dying. So we gave him some more water, and guess what? He revived again. I'm like, okay, today we're giving them 10 times the amount of water they need. We're really going to soak these guys. Because it's supposed to be 100 degrees for a few days in a row. So we water them, and they look good again, and they're going to produce fruit. They're going to produce life. But it's that daily water that we need in our lives. It's not one drink on Sunday. It's not one drink on, I read my Bible last month. It's not one drink on, I listened to a podcast while I was jogging one morning, or sitting in my chair, or driving to work, or whatever you do. But it's that daily dose of continual water flowing consistently over and over and over that keeps the plant healthy, that allows the fruit to grow and develop and mature. Because we as Christians are supposed to produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of living water should be flowing out of us. And we're going to get to that one in a moment. Just getting excited, getting ahead of myself, talking about vegetables. But we are no different. We need fresh water each and every day. We need to be plugging into the Holy Spirit of God each and every day. And it's not a one and done, not a two and done. I just went to an amazing conference in June that's going to carry me through the year. No, it's probably not going to get me through next week if I don't keep drinking. It was like drinking from a fire hose. I haven't even had time to process it yet. Maybe this week. But it's not going to sustain me through the year. I have to keep going back to the source of where my help comes from, the Holy Spirit of the living God. So stay connected by word, by prayer and supplication, by engaging with other believers, sharpening iron against iron. Daily, feed your soul the living water of the living God. Isaiah 58:6-8. Actually, I'm going to skip that one, the Isaiah 58. We're going to jump to Isaiah 12, verse 3. That was a teaser verse. Now you all will wonder what it says. You have to go look it up. Isaiah 12, verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. When you're drinking in the living water of God, joy is bubbling up inside of you. I often have people, Arby, why are you so happy? Arby, well, some say, Arby, why are you so goofy? But I know they mean happy. Because the joy of the Lord bubbles up inside of me. Because I know what he's forgiven me of. And I know what he saved me to. I used to look at it, I know what he saved me from. My sins and death and hell. But I've changed my perspective to look to what he saved me to. Life everlasting. To be with him in glory in heaven for eternity with no more sorrow, with no more pain, with no more tears. And that's a lot better to look at than the mess of a boy and a man that I used to be. So again, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross that day, for giving us the ability to repent, ask forgiveness, and accept you as our Lord and Savior. That should give you joy. Because apart from that, you are subject to hell and eternal torment and damnation. Let's look at some of the fruit that we are supposed to be producing. Good fruit, bad fruit. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, picking up at verse 19. We're going to look at the bad fruit first and get it out of the way. The acts of the flesh are obvious, or the acts of bad fruit. What are you producing in your life? Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, all kinds of evil. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I used to have several things on that list as fruit that I produced in my life consistently, regularly. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that washes me white, cleanses my sin, pays my debt. Thank you, Jesus, that now I don't. But I do have a lot of fruit from this next list. But the fruit of the Spirit, the one who produces living water, is love, joy, peace. I'm going to skip the next one because I'm still working on that. Forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. Which list do you find yourself in? The good fruit or bad fruit? And then it gives us warning again. It's like, lead us back to the first verse in Jeremiah. Don't become provoking, jealous, or envy. Because look at all the amazing fruit I'm producing. It's just supposed to give glory to God and point people to who He is and His love and goodness towards us. It's not about me saying, look at my basket of fruit. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't they beautiful? Isn't it amazing? I'm amazing. Oh, there's a better tree to eat from? Then we go right back to the garden, square one again. And the enemy comes in and tries to deceive us and distract us. Say, oh, yeah, you think that's living water? Try this water. Several years ago, I think it's been three now, we had this bad disease come through the valley and wipe out a bunch of our deer, our whitetails specifically. It's called EHD, and I won't go into all the details of it. Basically, it goes in, pops their lungs, and they bleed to death from the inside out. Really painful, miserable death. Very slow. So what was happening is the water has to reach the right temperature to grow this little gnat, and it has to become stagnant and stale. But also what happens is it happens in a drought year when it's hot and dry, and all the fresh springs dry up. And then all the animals are forced to the same water holes. And they all go down there, and then when one of them gets sick, you know, they're nice deer, so they share with their friends. And one by one, the herd starts dying off. And pretty soon, like, in our area, about 98% of the herd died off. It was awful. We went from about 200 down to 4, literally. But it happens with us spiritually as well. If we don't drink from the fresh, living water. Because you go to these little pockets of places where people had livestock and had fresh, clean, flowing water for their animals, and the deer would go to those fresh waters, living waters, and get drinks. They all survived and didn't die off. So what pools are you drinking from? Are they slowly killing you? Are they stagnant? Or are you drinking from living water? Are you drinking from that which produces life and the fruit of the Spirit within your life? Or are you drinking from something that's slowly poisoning you, slowly sickening you, slowly dragging you down? And as you go down, you're so generous, you're sharing with all your friends and dragging them down with you. Are you lifting people up, sharpening iron against iron as the Word calls us to do? Or are you dragging them down a slow death road? What are your actions, your words, doing to those around you? How well are you representing Christ in the sphere of influence He's given you? Because one road leads to life and one road leads to death. God offers us, it says His mercies are new every morning. The freshness of His living water is new every morning. I love it when I read a passage I've read a dozen times and I'm like, where's that been hiding for 20 years? I've never seen that before. You know why? Because it's new and it's fresh. It's the living Word of God, the living, life-giving water of the Holy Spirit. Saying, okay, Arby, now you're ready to understand this passage in a greater depth. You couldn't handle this before. I don't know what he's really thinking, but maybe I'm just slow. Am I the only one that happens to? God is new and He is fresh. Keep drinking in the living water that we may glorify His name and make His name known as great throughout the earth. Don't go the way of the deer. Drink from nasty water holes. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that You do offer us this living water through Your Holy Spirit. God, we thank You, God, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus to converse with, to strengthen and sharpen one another. God, we thank You for Your Word and the truth of it. God, that we have it available, God, freely to participate in, to read, to study, to know You more. And God, we just ask You would stir inside of us, God, a thirst, God, for Your living water. God, that we would make it a part of our daily routine to converse with You in conversation and prayer. God, that we would make it a part of our daily routine to read Your Word, to study it, to know it. And God, that we would also communicate with other believers that would sharpen and strengthen us. And Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to serve and be part of Your kingdom. God, we ask Your grace and Your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.